Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Happy Monday, Cleveland. It is, well, we're active in the world of baseball. As you heard in McKenzie's update, a lot to get into on the Guardians, I'm sure, tonight by the time it's said and done. We'll eventually do that. And Browns training camp, just a couple of days around the corner, right there. Right there, knocking at the door on things really happening. But a lot to get into tonight. We'll talk a lot of Browns, of course. Like I said, we'll react to the Guardians in the wrap-up. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here from 7 to 11. We got Jax Gregory running the board as well. You're here on the 2020s, doing work behind the glass. McKenzie Flume with us tonight. I mean, honestly, like coming into a Monday in general, like, listen, as much as I can sit here and tell you, oh, of course, I love showing up to my job every day. I have no complaints. I've said it before. Like, sometimes Mondays feel like Mondays. This is like an anti-Monday. This feels like almost a Friday walking in, and not in a bad way of where, like, oh, the week's almost over, and then I have 4 days of work to look through. No, it feels like a Friday, and like it just vibes are high. We're feeling good today. We're excited. Football is nearly back. This is the last final week, the full week that we don't have football. And that is a wild thing to process through my brain right now. But that's where we are, and we have to be excited about that. But before we get into what we were talking about, I do want to give... I don't do any shout-outs or anything like that. I do want to shout-out very quickly. My girlfriend was telling me a story over the weekend. She works at a hospital. She gets bussed back and forth. So I got to give a quick shout-out to the shuttle driver, Paul, who she had a conversation with and had some very great things to say. Very nice. Said he listens to me every night while he drives the bus. Incredible human being. Warmed my heart to hear the interaction. And also probably boosted my ego so much. My girlfriend, she told me that, and I go, okay, now tell me I'm an idiot and I suck at my job. Like, we need to balance it out. You can't tell me too many things are good here. But no, shout out Paul. Very nice interaction. Was very kind to the people close around me, so I appreciate him. But I didn't want to get into the Browns and, of course, where we're all going to be looking for the next, I don't know, a week or two. And then you'll get into some preseason, and then it'll really ramp up. But we're all going to be looking at the exact same thing. We're all going to be having the exact same conversations of what on earth right now is going on at the quarterback spot, right? What are we doing in the world of just where we're heading? Where is this quarterback competition going to play out? And I know that everybody's kind of fallen under this same idea that it's going to consistently be. It's going to be Joe, and then eventually you'll transition into Shador, and that's what everybody's hoping for. And I think some of us at this point have gone from hoping for it to borderline expecting it. And there's a lot of people that cover the team, that talk about this team, who certainly agree. But there's also some who don't feel that it's going to go that way. One of those people on earlier today with our station, on with Baskin and Phelps, Scott Petrak, as he always is, of BrownZone.com on Mondays with Baskin and Phelps. And he talked about the idea of a potential different starting quarterback week one.
I think Joe Flacco is going to win the job, but I still believe that Kenny Pickett gets the first chance to win the job. And that's how I felt when they opened the offseason program, just because for all the reasons we talked about, he's 27, former first round pick. They see a lot of upside in Kenny Pickett. And for an organization trying to find their long-term answer at the game's most important position, he is a candidate for that. And Joe Flacco's not, because he's 40 years old. So if Kenny Pickett can emerge as a starter and you don't think the rookies are ready, is the Browns, then Kenny Pickett, I think, is, in their view, the ideal guy to win this job, because he has the upside and maybe he can be your guy.
So I think it's really interesting the way that Scott lays it out, because he tells you, like, I think Joe will probably win the job by week one, but I think it's a little contrarian to the way that most of us think, which is right now you walk in and the way that you assume the quarterback battle to be is that Joe starts in the lead and it's essentially Joe's job until somebody makes it their job. Right? Like, we've talked about the idea of, hey, maybe you continue here through the early part of training camp, not giving Joe as many reps, just to see who else really has a crack at this. But at the end of the day, it's Joe's job to sort of have, unless somebody proves that they're capable of doing this and doing it at a high level. Because at that point, yeah, young quarterback probably should win out over 40-year-old quarterback who, I mean, maybe plays another year after this, but very well might not. I just don't know how that's the viewpoint I can have. Like, and I know where Scott's coming from. Like, it makes sense that that's the way that it would line up. They went and got Kenny to start things out. We've had that conversation. It's the first thing you do in the offseason. I just don't know how, if you're the Browns right now and you look at this and you're evaluating the quarterback spot to come in, it's anything but this is Joe's job. Like, yeah, if Kenny wants to go out and prove, no, I might still have something left. I might still have a little bit left in the tank. It might, you know, give you a chance to win games either at the same rate or at a higher rate than Joe Flacco. And it might just make sense. Like, if you're the Browns, you'd be dumb not to turn to Kenny. But coming into camp, I would certainly be looking at this as Joe's battle to lose. But it feels like, in a lot of ways, the Browns would be looking at it in the other way, that this is Kenny Pickett's job to lose. That he's the one who has to essentially play his way out of a job rather than into it. And I just don't know if you're the Browns. The real line of thinking here, if this is the line of thinking that it's going to be Kenny to start, and then, okay, or either you'll turn it over a rookie or maybe it'll go to Joe, I don't understand the logic of bringing Joe in the first place. Like, that's the confusing thing to me. If you're going to go out and bring in four quarterbacks, if the 40-year-old isn't going to be a top dog, the guy in the room that you're going to turn to and say, all right, we're going to start with you. You're the one who's going to take over to start the season. And, you know, until somebody proves that that's not going to be the case, that's what we're going to roll with. Bring in the 40-year-old for any other reason doesn't make sense to me. You're bringing in Joe. What, like, the one thing I've heard sort of tossed around is a potential idea is the idea that you bring in Joe just in case Kenny sort of, you know, spirals and doesn't look that great, and either of the rookies aren't ready. Well, hey, I'm sorry at that point. Like, as much as I don't want to throw the careers of the wind on Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, I also understand that this is a one-year experiment. Like, Shedeur Sanders is not a three-year project where you're like, oh, well, you know, maybe he won't play year one and then we'll eventually transition him in. Like, he's not Patrick Mahomes, okay? You're not sitting on it and being like, he just needs a year to develop. I know I compare him to Patrick Mahomes. Like, not what I was going for, but I meant the whole sitting a year and then playing after it thing. But, like, yeah, you're not going in thinking of that line of thinking, because if you were, drafted him in the fifth round, and you have a first round pick next year. If you go into this going, we got two firsts next year, but just wait until you see how Shedeur developed. I'm gonna be like, you didn't watch the guy play next year. You're gonna tell me he wasn't good enough then, but all of a sudden he's gonna be good enough now. Yeah, I'm not buying that. I'm not going into, like, at least Patrick Mahomes is behind Alex Smith, okay? Respected NFL quarterback and perfectly fine at the time to roll with for a season. Not buying that with Joe or Kenny in front of him. So I don't think that part obviously plays out. You're going to see what these two rookies have at some point this year, unless somebody proves you they can be the quarterback of the future. Okay, again, it's the entire problem I have with four quarterbacks in the room to begin with. Why go get Joe? Why bring in a 40-year-old who's not going to provide anything for you in the long term? Unless you think, I want to win games out of the gate, or at least give my team a chance to, that by the time I toss it over to the younger players, we're at least in still a position to compete in case one of them works out. But if Kenny is his job to lose, and he's the guy that you stick in front of everybody to start the year, then in my eyes, you might as well just go ahead and cut Joe, or see if somebody will toss you a seventh-round pick for a 40-year-old quarterback. You might as well move on. If we get through Kenny and Kenny doesn't look great, I'm like, all right, let me see the rookies. I'm done. Joe is a first 6 weeks or until I'm not competitive anymore type of move. Right? That is, see if I can win football games and this team can be a playoff type of contender this year with the right quarterback in spot. Because I do think that means something, right? You go out and you do that. I think that means something for the job security of Kevin Stefanski. In that, hey, this does work. I just need a quarterback. Look what I can do with 40-year-old Joe. Imagine what I could do with first-round pick, you know, whoever you take next year. And if they develop into something, if you get me a true top-level talent, imagine what I can do. So I know Joe's place here. And I understand that winning games means something for Stefanski's job and the potential moving forward point for the organization. If this is Kenny's job to lose, hey, you might as well just throw Joe out the window and just commit to this being a young quarterback experiment for the entire year. And if you don't do that, if I see Joe Flacco come out as the second quarterback off the board for the Browns, I mean, I'm legitimately going to be tearing my hair out. Because I can't imagine you're switching off of Kenny after two or three games at that point. You'd be switching off of Kenny after five or six games. And then you're going to give a runway to Joe. And again, you back yourself into a corner that just doesn't make sense. For me, it's probably hands down doesn't make any argument. It should be Joe out of the gate, see what you have after. But that's not really veteran territory after that. That's more let me see what the rookies have. 216-474-0092. Should the quarterback job heading into training camp be Kenny Pickett's to lose? Should they be focused on young guy first, and if it doesn't work out, well, that's why we have Joe here, or should it be Joe's to start? You can also get me on X, at Volnick Jake. Should the quarterback job be Kenny Pickett's to lose heading into training camp? Right, like, I don't necessarily think that's the way that it should be. I imagine you have a 40-year-old quarterback. I would say it's that guy, the guy who's been there and done it. As you just gotta get there. Somebody's got the umpire in the Guardians game just got smoked. I saw Jack's eye behind the glass. Umpire in the Guardians game got smoked. It's nothing. Fastball off the noggin, all right? I mean, it happens, right? Like, sometimes reactions inevitable.
Not expecting that.
Inevitable. But no, I mean, hey, Kenny is the ideal quarterback to have in there. I think if you'd ran with the three quarterback room, like, having Kenny lead the way would not have been a bad thing. As much as I think the city of Cleveland is kind of out on the idea of Kenny Pickett being good, like, he would have been a fine quarterback to go with. It's like, okay, here's a backup, a guy who had one chance in the NFL, but really hasn't gotten his second crack at things, especially after we've seen the Geno Smiths, Sam Darnolds, Baker Mayfields, all when they've had their second, third, fourth cracks in the go-around, actually be able to pick it up and figure it out. Like, I'm fine if you would have started with Kenny and eventually gotten to the answer of, yeah, probably not that guy. Or, you would have been surprised and it might have been. It's just when you go four quarterback battle, like, don't tell me it's a four-man battle and then all of a sudden tell me the Super Bowl winning quarterback who we've seen play the last 2 years, who, again, I'm not willing to crown Joe Flacco being some amazing talent at this point in his career. I won't do it. But he's fine. He's serviceable. He's a bridge quarterback. He's a journeyman. That's what you bring these type of guys in for. But bringing them both in does not lend itself to, oh, we'll just see if Kenny can basically win the job and this can be his. But we're just going to give it to him to start. And then maybe Joe will just basically play backup here. Right? Either Kenny doesn't work at week one, or Kenny's like, you see him play and you think maybe not. Throughout training camp, you're like, yeah, you know what? He didn't fare well in the preseason. He struggled a ton. He struggled against joint practices, which, by the way, it's not been the MO for Kenny Pickett. It's been much the opposite. But if that's the route you wanted to go down, then sure. Like, yeah, I could have just seen it happening of letting Kenny try to excite fans. But you're not in that spot to do it right now. You're not in that spot to live up to. You can beat Joe Flacco. And I think that's the part that's really hard to believe, is if you're telling me four-man quarterback competition, I have to believe that Kenny Pickett is better than Joe Flacco going into week one, right? Because of everything we've talked about. You have to impress the veterans in this room. You should have to impress Kevin Stefanski to say it as well, but everyone's got to buy into the quarterback. I need at least a majority of the veterans on the same page saying that's the guy we want to roll with right now. And for a lot of the reasons I don't buy it was actually on the insiders today. Judy Batista on and talking about what's basically the factors going into the competition and how you determine who the winner should be.
They're going to value processing time, decision making, that kind of thing. They want somebody who's going to be able to run the offense, minimize mistakes, make good decisions, things like that. They use those words a lot, processing speed and decision making. If you're looking at the quarterback competition, it's really two quarterback competitions, the competition between the two rookies and then the competition between the two veterans. Certainly, I think at this early point, you would say Joe Flacco has to have the edge just because he's been there and won there. And then I think you keep an eye on Dylan Gabriel, who I think caught some eyes in the spring with, again, with how quickly he was absorbing information.
So you hear Judy sort of toss those things out, and I think she points to two very solid answers. You notice she didn't go to Kenny Pickett. And, like, honestly, a lot of the things that you can evaluate, you can say that Kenny Pickett is good in, but it all circles back to this idea that you got to be better than the other guy. Like, if we're talking about processing speed and being on target, yeah, I'm still taking Joe over Kenny. Like, a guy who's made an NFL career off of being able to see the field and make plays happen, I'm taking Joe over that. Now, protecting the football obviously has not been his strong suit, but didn't really stop from what we saw. It felt like Kevin Stefanski 2 years ago liked Joe Flacco. He had no problem rolling with him, right? Despite the turnovers, where this year, I think you could easily see that Kevin might have been a little frustrated with the way that Jameis ran the offense. Like, the inability to take care of football in key moments, it came back to bite you too many times, and you couldn't get anything going because Jameis is willing to turn the ball over. In some way, that is still Joe. Joe still was on that trajectory 2 years ago to be very similar. So it puzzles me as to looking at saying, why would Kevin like Joe Flacco so much compared to like Jameis? By the way, running an offense that was not really conducive to what Jameis does as a quarterback. Like, he was running the Deshaun Watson offense. Yeah, Jameis would have been probably much more suited to run the Kevin Stefanski offense, the non-Ken Dorsey factored in offense. But so you didn't like when Jameis did it, but you were fine when Joe did it. But everything there just leads me to sit there and ask the same questions. It's like, okay, we're evaluating on basically when we're saying run the offense, be accurate, be on time, read the field quickly, you know, protect the football. It's like, sure, Joe doesn't do one of those things well. I could also look at Kenny and say, if you want to say protect the football, I'd probably say he doesn't do that very well either. Right? Like, he's not going for 30 for 30 seasons. Part of that is because he's not throwing 30 touchdowns. He's also not throwing 30 interceptions, but you don't have the other side of it. Like, if it's still, at the end of the day, a 1-to-1 touchdown interception ratio, I'll take the guy who puts more touchdowns on the board. Like, hey, that's the bottom line. I'll take the guy who puts points on the board. But if you go through and tell me Kenny Pickett won the job, this is why I don't think it can be Kenny Pickett week one. And right now, why it can't even be Kenny's job to lose? Because I don't know how you evaluate those two and say Kenny's ahead or Kenny wins that battle. It's why the four-man quarterback competition has never made any sense. You can't tell me that guy's better than Joe. And why Joe is probably, for a lot of reasons, more of a detriment to this competition than a help, unfortunately. Because I don't think anybody that you see win it, like, even if, you know, it is Shador, who I eventually want to see this season, is the quarterback that I believe in for the future more than anybody else on the roster right now. I'm still not going to probably believe that Shador beat out Joe Flacco. And that's who everybody wanted to see week one. I just don't think that we can really make the sell that Kenny is going to win that. And I don't think that fans are going to buy it. For their personal biases, on top of the idea that, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. We see the stats. At least with the rookie, there's an unknown factor where you could be like, hey, maybe Shador is just lighting it up and he's actually a quarterback of the future who is going to be, you know, a perennial top 10. Like, maybe they see that in him. With Kenny, it's like, no, I saw you play football. Like, there's still a reason why J.J. McCarthy got the job over Sam Darnold and the Vikings were happy to walk away from that. Because, yeah, we see something in him, and we know what Sam's done. Despite everything that, you know, he did this season and proving that he was really good and could protect the football and score points, we see the body of work. Thanks for your help, but we'll move on. We'll let you go somewhere else. That's just the thing that doesn't make sense. Like, yes, as much as you want to sort of throw that out and say that guys can make new of themselves in a career, I can't really be fully sold to that fact. I can't be pushed to say that Kenny is not going to be at all the quarterback that he was his years in Pittsburgh, and even at times a backup in Philly. it's just not the quarterback that he's proven to be. And again, we're here for second chances. I'm here for second opportunities. But this is why the Browns have to make headway. They have to make actual movement in the quarterback competition. And I don't think you can roll with four guys. Like, I can't see a way that Joe doesn't win. And if that's the route you want to go down, again, if you want to start with Joe, I'm actually on board for that. Like, yeah, I'm fine starting the season and saying, can you win football games? But not if you're following it with Kenny. Not if you're just pushing the rookie opportunities back. It's trying to thread a needle and try to go in two different directions. And it's the Browns taking a risk. Like, having the four quarterbacks and having the diversity in the quarterback room that you do between 40-year-old guy, reclamation project, double rookie, like, you're trying to do it all at once. And in most times in sports, we applaud risk. Like, if you want to take the route that people are going to say, yeah, I don't know if that's going to work, or you're really going all in here, a lot of the times, you know, we sort of give a hand for those moments. Right, when an NBA team decides, hey, we're going to pay guys and we're going to make the extra move in certain moves like the Cavs, or it's like, hey, we're going to sit in the second apron. Sometimes you applaud those moves to say, yeah, don't worry about the money. Go get it done. Or, yeah, I don't know if that's going to work, but when it does, you get a pat on the back. The Browns are trying to find that, but you're not really in a situation to do it. It's usually at that top level, when you're going for it all, that you get applauded for risk. When you're the team constantly trying to draft a quarterback and try to make the young guys work, when you do things off the beaten path, that's where you sort of get into a dangerous territory of being heavily scrutinized and everybody looking at this thing under a microscope and trying to figure out, what on earth are the Browns doing? What is their plan right now? And I think it's the same thing here. I can't go in and say I'm confident with this. You have to give me a solid solution. You have to give me a legitimate answer as to what your plan is. And that's not going to be Joe into Kenny or Kenny into Joe. It's going to be one of the veterans winning out. But show me a path. Show me a route. Like, if you're going to go and say, yeah, it's Kenny's job to lose, well, then sort of sayonara, Joe, at the end of training camp. Like, you don't got to do it now. I mean, protect yourself. God forbid one of these guys goes down with an injury. You'd still love to have Joe on the roster, but do the same thing that the Browns have shown that they do at training camps the last couple of years. Bring in four guys, and at the end of training camp, yeah, we don't really, we don't like that guy as much. And you sort of send him on the road. You did it this last year with Tyler Huntley. Obviously, a much different situation and much different expectations for this team. But I just don't think, because you're trying to find the quarterback, shooting things at the wall is what works. And again, 216-474-0092. Would you buy that Kenny Pickett actually beat Joe Flacco in a quarterback competition if they decided to start the year with Kenny? Jax, you buy it?
No.
No way that Kenny impresses enough to do that?
No, there's no way.
Like, again, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, Kenny's fine. He's an okay quarterback. If you bring somebody in who's better than him, you can't sell
like
me competition.
Said, if you bring in a 40-year-old, you're bringing him in to start.
Or, I mean, on a good team, just be a solidified backup, right? Like, and that's obviously not what the Browns
like
are.
Like you said, they're not a good team.
Yeah. So you're not bringing him in. Like, those are your only two options as a journeyman quarterback. It's like, you're a bridge guy. Like, either get me through the year or get me through a set number of games before I can turn it over to somebody else. Or you come in and you're the backup to either a young quarterback who needs a mentorship, or like a backup to a guy like Patrick Mahomes, where, I got a really good quarterback. God forbid he goes down, I at least have a competent guy behind him. The Browns are just everywhere. They're just shooting off fireworks in multiple directions. Najee Harris, keep your eyes shut and out of the way. Okay, we're shooting off fireworks in multiple directions. Like, it's just completely unmanned. You're like, if I start a forest fire, I guess I start a forest fire. Like, that's not the route to go. You're not trying to start a fire if you're the Browns. You're trying to put on a nice little show, probably without a grand finale, and just have people go home and be like, oh, it was all right. It was okay. I'm not that upset. I know that fireworks aren't your thing, Jax, but analogy works.
Never have been.
No. Just a big 4th of July guy.
That's yep, it. Now you got it.
But it's the exact same thing of, if you want to pick a path, you have to pick a path that makes sense. And I think a path that makes sense to your fans. Like, if I'm going to be talking and listening to Browns fans, and they're going to be going insane over the quarterback competition, because how did Kenny beat him? Or why is Kenny second up? It's like, I get it. You don't have to listen to your fans and operate the team as if the fan base would. Or else I'm sure a lot more teams would falter and be worse off than they are. But I think you do have to operate in a way that makes sense to them. You can't treat them as if they're dumb. You can't treat them as if they don't know football at all. Like, we all can evaluate the quarterbacks we've seen with our own two eyes. And at least when it comes to the veterans, I know what I've seen with the two guys. Don't go out there and try to sell me a different product than what I know is reality. If I know that Joe Flacco is a better quarterback, don't try to tell me it's going to be Kenny, because I know it can't be true. And if I see Joe come in after that, again, not going to be happy, but then plays better than Kenny Pickett, I'm practically throwing the entire season out the window, being like, the people in charge have no clue what they're doing. Kevin doesn't. Andrew Berry doesn't. By bringing in the quarterbacks that you did and operating under that order of operations, you clearly have shown to me you have no idea the way that you're handling business, and you don't know how to evaluate a quarterback. That's the worst thing for you and the worst thing for this fan base. Operate in a way that makes sense. 216-474-0092. Are you buying that Kenny Pickett could actually beat Joe Flacco in a quarterback competition? And is it Kenny's job to lose? We'll get to more of what you guys have to say coming up here in 5 minutes, as well as the station buzz right here on Overtime with Jake Volmick on The Fan. Coming up in about 18 minutes, you're going to get to a ranking that, I mean, it's going to have to happen daily, but I don't know that we're excited to do it. I don't know that we're overjoyed to have to put these into a ranking at the moment, but we're going to do it nonetheless. But a lot to still get into here. Including, I want to get to the most pressing things. A lot of Browns said by our station's guests today. So let's do it with the station buzz. All right, let's kick things off. John Doss of News Channel 5 on with Spencer and Daryl this morning, filling in for Ken and Anthony. And John commented on what rookie he feels has the most pressure on them heading into the season.
I would say Schlesinger. I think that linebacker position has been a question mark since I've been here. You had the best linebacker you've had in this building in decades, and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. He's not coming back. He leaves a major void there. Contrary to what Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski tell us, they had an idea that was going to be the case when they drafted Schlesinger. And from everything I've heard, this guy's been awesome so far in rookie minicamp, and we'll see if he can continue to do that, because if Schlesinger is not good, that entire linebacking core is not good again.
Like, I feel like Schlesinger, like, yes, he has pressure on him. I also just don't know how you take this off of Mason Graham. Like, yes, you're playing alongside of Myles Garrett, which frees you up a little bit, makes it a little bit more, easy to try to produce. You're not going to have a ton of double teams probably thrown your way. But I also don't know that I can look at Schlesinger and think you're not going to be the most talented guy in the room. Like, yes, you're a rookie. You have a lot to prove. And you're also trying to fill in the shoes of JOK. Like, I'm not taking this away from John as his answer, but the linebacker core is not going to be great. You just don't have a ton of guys around you that are going to make you look like the sore thumb. It's going to be the entire unit, and there's a really good chance that either way, you're going to be the shining star of that unit. I think I just trust the young player to step up and look decent to good, rather than trying to put the weight of the world on him. I also just don't feel like Jim Schwartz's defense really lends itself to linebackers being just ever important. It's a lot of trust in your secondary and trust in your defensive line to get pressure created. Linebackers are kind of the fill in the blank pieces, which is why you don't see the Browns going out and targeting them as like, here's the premier piece we have. It's all right, well, let's see if we can, you know, basically fill in the gaps with some guys who are going to be solid, who are going to produce for us. But I'm not going and spending a ton of money on the linebacker either. All right, let's keep it rolling, and let's talk a little bit of quarterback. Nathan Zagura of the Browns Radio Network on with Nick and JP today. And, he talked about a training camp in general that's just going to be heavily scrutinized.
It's going to be a very newsy training camp. I think, obviously, whenever you have a quarterback competition, it's going to be newsy, and we'll see how ultimately that plays out for the Cleveland Browns. But very tough start to this season, and it's an interesting one because you still have so many really good pieces in place. I think the defensive front seven is going to be excellent. I like our cornerback room. I know the Browns are high on Ronnie Hickman, so defensively, I think this could be, you know, an elite defense once again. And then offensively, you've got some real stars. We got some question marks. Obviously, the biggest quarterback, who that's going to be, but it's going to be, I think, kind of a fascinating season in terms of, you know, you're trying to get information about your young quarterbacks at the same time. Obviously, you're trying to win games, and you've got a lot of talent to do so. It's going to be, I think it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be an interesting training camp. It's going to be kind of, as I said, as newsy and as scrutinized the training camp as we've had in a long time.
So I see everything that Nathan's laying out, but I think the main reason for that is obviously going to be the quarterback spot. I don't think that anybody in the national media is really going to be looking around being like, I don't know, let me write a story about those Browns running backs right now. Like, what if, can they really forge it together with Jerome Ford and Dylan Sampson and Pierre Strong? No, everyone's going to be going, here's how Shador looked. Are they actually going to go with Joe? And could Shador win the job? Those are going to be the three questions that get thrown out there. Like, even the national media just doesn't focus on guys like Kenny Pickett, and they focus certainly a lot less on guys like Dylan Gabriel. The Browns are going to be scrutinized, and it's going to be very newsy because everybody's going to report in on Shador's chances to be here and Shador's chances to win the job. It's going to keep it interesting. Like, we're going to have something to talk about. The national media is going to be focused on the Browns, but you also have to understand it's all on the back of Shador Sanders. Everybody is focused on what Shador does, not necessarily what the Cleveland Browns do. And I think that's what makes this training camp so interesting, is that I think Browns fans and the local media have an understanding that they need a lot more than the quarterback spot to go right. But us and the national media alike are looking around going, without that spot figured out, you can imagine how the season goes no matter what else happens. More to the quarterbacks. Let's go to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk on with Baskett and Phelps today. And he talked about more so the Browns draft approach and what it means about the organization.
A winning program does not draft two quarterbacks in rounds 3 and 5. A program that is committed to winning picks its quarterback and moves on and doesn't, well, this is an asset for us. So forget about that. You're trying to win football games. You're trying to create an atmosphere where you can win football games. So taking four quarterbacks to camp, four that are competing for the starting job, not just, you know, three in a camp arm, I think that's a mistake. Taking four into the regular season, which they reportedly are serious about doing, that's a mistake. Taking four past the trade deadline, that's a mistake. It's less about winning, and it's more about, oh, we really want to get the most we can for that one guy that we otherwise would cut.
And I think Mike makes a really good point, and a lot to what we were talking about earlier on in the show to kick things off. Just like, okay, well, you say you're going in one direction. Some of the moves you make are going in another direction, but somehow you still haven't picked one. Like, even if you're saying one thing and doing another, I can still figure out where you're heading. Like, he's like, oh, winning organizations don't take four quarterbacks into the season. Hey, guys, newsflash, nobody does. Winning and losing organizations don't take four quarterbacks into the season. They certainly don't take four past the trade deadline. It's, again, like we talked about, what makes this all so confusing is trying to figure out where you're actually heading. Where are you going with the quarterback spot? Just try to find your guy. Like, to Mike's point, I thought it was a good one. You take the guy and you move on. You're already past that stage. It's now find the guy and move on. Or find that it's not the guy and move on forward that way. This isn't about just trying to basically throw as much at the wall and see what sticks. It doesn't work here. That's not what your program and your idea should be just going into this season. It's like, well, one of these guys is going to pan out. Like, why don't you just narrow it down to three and actually show how much you trust each of the three guys? And go for broke. Like, please, for the love of God, go for broke. And there's a good chance that you end up with nothing in your pockets, but you're trying to teeter on, we're going to be a competitive team, and you show that to me by what? Winning 7 games? Congrats, you're more competitive than you were last year. You're still stank, I still don't trust you, and you still don't have a quarterback, so you're recycling this thing right back where we were to start the year going into next year. That doesn't help me all that much. Congratulations, you have 2 draft picks. You still have those whether you win the Super Bowl or you don't win a single game. So let's just pick a route, stick to that route. And actually, maybe move forward with that. Back to the morning show. Dan Lobby at Cleveland.com, who we'll talk to coming up here on Friday, talked about the Browns quarterback spot as well and was asked which of those is the least divisive of the bunch.
I think it's probably divisive no matter what, but I guess if I had to choose one that could probably please the most people, it would probably be Joe Flacco starting. Yeah. I think Kenny Pickett would cause a certain amount of angst. I don't think there's some huge groundswell, at least outside of the building, in Berea for Dylan Gabriel. Obviously, there are a lot of people that believe Shador Sanders should just be the starter, put him out there. You're not going to please those people unless Shador Sanders is the guy. But I think Joe Flacco is probably the most popular one. He's the one that if we go out there week one and he's starting for the Browns against the Bengals, I think that would make the most people the happiest.
I think this is also something of the way he built your quarterback room. Like, we talk about being divisive and making people mad. Well, when you bring so many different guys in, to Dan's point, you're not going to make everybody happy. And I think the problem is that you're probably going through in a route that is making close to half your fan base angry no matter what you do. And if you do something like, I don't know, go with Kenny Pickett, you're probably making like 95% of your fan base angry, which is a really, really bad thing to do. But like, even if you go Joe, okay, well, you're going to make a lot of the people who love Shador and want to see Shador very angry and being like, why is he not out on the field? But I think a lot of the Shador people can see that Joe is a legitimate option. Like, it makes sense to start the season there to get you through the first few weeks. If you go with Shador, you're going to make a lot of the Joe people mad. You're going to make a lot of the non-Shador believers mad. But you'll obviously satisfy the Shador people. The problem is the Browns just created a pool of quarterbacks that is very much creating tension in a quarterback room and tension among your fan base. We're going to be divided. And I think that's going to be a major issue for the entire year, is we're going to be sitting here arguing amongst ourselves on where the Browns should go rather than actually being excited for any sort of talent that they brought in. And we're going to spend this entire season with me yelling at Kenny Pickett supporters and non-Shador supporters, and that's going to be 11 weeks of the entire process rather than just, hey, can we just be excited to see a new guy at the quarterback spot that might have a chance? No, nobody will be satisfied that. Nobody will be satisfied. We'll all be sitting here just screaming back and forth. What a fun season we're in store for. Let's get back to it. Mike Golic Sr. of the FanDuel Sports Network, currently, you know him from basically everywhere else as well, on his afternoon drive today, and he talked about the quarterback battle and the hastiness that needs to occur.
The best thing for a team to do is know who their starting quarterback is as early as possible and not have it go too long, because you need a leader in the huddle. I would have a feeling Joe Flacco is going to start the season. Listen, we know four quarterbacks aren't going to be on the roster, right? I mean, even if you're going to have three for an emergency, if you want to put one on the practice squad, remember, they have to be cut, and then they go through 24-hour waivers. So they're not even guaranteed to clear waivers to make it onto the practice team. So it's going to be an interesting scenario.
I just don't think Mike's throwing anything at us here that we haven't heard before. Like, or not even haven't heard before, but don't know, right? Like, every team goes in, and there's quarterback battles that happen. Like, they're happening in other places as well. But most teams get this thing figured out early because they know the importance of it. The quarterback competition is fun for us. Never going to be the best thing. Like, okay, so you're going to throw Joe out there on a whim. Ah, he knows the offense well enough. I don't know how well that's going to pan out, or... Ah, well, Shador didn't take first-team reps until 3 weeks into training camp. Yeah, let's throw him out there. Again, the best thing you can do is pick a guy and roll with it. Problem is, the Browns are not going to do that. They're going to make this thing go as long as possible, and I can feel that in the heart of hearts very early on. All right, that'll do it for the station buzz. When we come on back here in 5 minutes, you have to rank them. Browns quarterbacks. How confident are you moving into the season? We'll make ours. We'll hear from you as well. 216-474-0092 at 8 o'clock right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.